Okay, welcome to Myths and Monsters, episode 18. That means we are looking September right in the face.
Sure are.
Oh my Lord, I can't believe this year is going that fast.
It's flown.
Dragon Con is tomorrow.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So for any of you all listening, we will be there. Just email us and we can try to meet up somewhere if you want to meet us. That would be a lot of fun. We can get pictures for the website. That would be cool.
Yep.
So, yeah, just let us know because we're going to be there. We're going to be having a blast. I'm probably dressing up. She's probably not dressing up.
I wear nerd shirts is my thing.
Yeah, that's what your dad does too. And Sid will be there and your little sister whose birthday was August 30th.
Yesterday. Oh, yeah.
And today is your birthday.
Oh, no, we posted this on the last day. Tomorrow will be my birthday. And then Thursday is Dragon Con.
Yes.
Yeah.
This whole week is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel that. So tomorrow's my birthday. Yesterday was Riley's birthday.
Yes. Yeah. Holy cow.
I know.
And then my anniversary comes up and my birthday. Mm-hmm. The fall is always a really exciting time in the Ellison household. So
it's hectic. Yeah,
it is. So anyway, well, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
And happy Dragon Con and happy September.
Woo. Yeah. No, I can't believe it's this year really has flown by.
It has. So this is a Myths and Monsters episode, and we are going to talk about, I've got the story of the Beijing's legendary ghost bus.
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
I had never heard about it either. And what are you talking about?
I am going to cover some sleep paralysis folklore.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So I will start. Okey-dokey. And not only is this usually called the Beijing's legendary ghost bus, but it's also called the last bus to Fragrant Hills.
Okay.
So there's a whole bunch of different variations to this, but here's the general story. On November 14th, 1995, so not super long ago, as is often the case, it starts on a dark and stormy night.
Yeah.
And a young man was at a bus stop and he boards the last bus heading to Beijing's Fragrant Hills, which is located in the, and I don't know how to pronounce this, the Heidian district.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure that's not how you pronounce it. But shortly after he got on the bus, which there's variations as to what bus number it is, bus 302 or 375, there's other bus numbers.
Okay.
Two men. Yeah. Okay. So I started drinking a long time ago, y'all. So this is going to be a really exciting episode. We're doing this later than normal in the day.
Yep. Yep.
A lot of crap happened to both of us today. But anyway, so two men tried to flag down the bus, even though they weren't at a bus stop. And the bus driver initially wasn't going to stop because they weren't at a bus stop. But the ticket lady reminded the driver, you know, hey, we're the last bus of the night. We should go ahead and stop and bring these guys on.
Right.
So these guys came on and they were dressed in this weird King Dynasty, Q-I-N-G, Dynasty robes, which the King Dynasty was from 1644 to 1911. So definitely out of date for 1995.
Right.
And there were actually three of them, not just the two that the bus driver originally saw. They had one that had this long, messy hair who was maybe unconscious, maybe drunk, being carried between the other two. And the men's faces were much whiter than a normal, person's.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Not whiter, like white.
Could have been. So that could've also been. Would be very scary.
And they didn't interact with any of the passengers and they headed straight to the back of the bus. So the commuters were a bit uneasy with this whole thing, but the ticket lady cooled things down, said, oh, they're probably actors. They didn't have time to change after their last show or whatever. And so, you know, people were like, oh, okay. So as the bus route goes on, people start to get off and it's starting to empty up the passengers until it's only a little old lady and this young man that were left inside with these mysterious men.
Okay.
And it was very quiet. No one was talking on the bus. It was this unnatural unease on the bus.
Yeah.
So suddenly the old woman abruptly accuses the young man of stealing her purse.
Oh, okay.
And they have this huge argument because he's like,
plot twist.
No, I did not steal your purse. And
right.
She's like, well, I think you did. And finally, he agreed to get off at the next bus stop so that they could go to the police station because he was wanting to make sure that he could prove I didn't steal her purse.
Yeah.
So once they were off the bus, the young man looks around. He's like, we are not near a police station. And he becomes angry with the old woman. They had just gotten off the very last bus of the night and had no way home. And the old woman's like, calm down. The story I was saying about you stealing my purse was just a ruse to get you off that bus because those three robed men didn't have any legs.
Oh.
And they must have been ghosts.
Okay. She said,
those people were ghosts. The wind coming in from the window raised their robes and they didn't have any legs. She insisted that they were floating. They weren't even touching the ground at all.
Okay.
So he after that was like, well, shit. Okay. And so they called the police and they're like, there's something weird going on that bus. And of course, no one at the police station believed them. Well, the following morning, that bus was reported missing.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
And according to some variations, it wasn't found. Some variations say it wasn't found ever.
Yeah.
And some variations say it was found 3 days later.
Ooh.
And in the version where it was found, it was recovered in a reservoir, which was miles away from its final destination at Fragrant Hills. Mm-hmm. And inside, there were three heavily decomposed bodies. The driver, the ticket lady, and one unidentified body with lengthy, unkempt hair.
Wow. Okay.
So in some versions of this tale, the police found that the gas tank was filled with blood instead of petrol.
Oh, I don't think it runs on blood.
Yeah, I don't think so. And obviously, there are some mysteries to be figured out here. The bus didn't have enough gas to get to the reservoir.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't have been able to make it there.
Right.
Number two, the bodies were too heavily decomposed for the 3 days that they were missing.
Fair. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Even in a bog or the reservoir or the water, whatever it was, the medical examiner is like, no.
Yeah.
And the autopsy confirmed that there wasn't any kind of interference with the bodies. They weren't dumped in acid or anything like that to make them decompose any quicker.
Yeah.
So they shouldn't have been as decomposed as they were for only being gone for 3 days. And the police went through all of the security camera tapes that were set up at all the different entrances to the reservoir.
Yeah.
And there was never any indication that the bus ever entered the reservoir.
Hate that. Thanks.
Yeah. Another version of the story substitutes those three mysterious men for a female ghost in a red dress. Now, that is so wildly divergent. I don't quite know how that works.
That's very different. Yeah. That's like a very, very different storyline there.
And then the bus number, it's 302, 330, or 375 are the numbers of the bus routes.
Okay.
In some versions, it was an old man that got on, not an old lady who accused the young guy of stealing her purse. And it was instead an old guy accusing him of stealing his wallet.
Right.
And then some versions said that the bus was never found. And in one version, even though they had been written off by the police as crazy people, the young guy and the old woman.
And the old woman, yeah.
The press tracked them down and they were actually interviewed live on TV. So supposedly there are interviews of them live.
Oh, I wonder somewhere. If you can find those on YouTube or something.
I wonder. They should be archived somewhere.
Yeah.
And then another version claims that the two people that got on board, that third guy, the unkempt guy, was actually a murder victim that they had killed.
Yeah.
And that the driver and the ticket lady were both killed because they were the last ones on the bus and the murderers needed to get away. And then there's another story that says, oh, they actually caught the murderers after a long search, but no names or anything that I could find. So, okay.
All right.
I don't know, but interesting. So that is the, and it's actually a fairly famous story in Beijing, this ghost bus.
Huh. I will have to go and look at that. I have never heard of it.
Yeah. It was pretty cool.
So the moral of the story is, don't ride the bus. I can't say that because I very much support public transport. However, I don't want to get murdered by ghosts.
Well, the moral should be for drivers of buses, don't pick up people not at the bus stop.
Well, that's very fair. That is, don't pick up ghosts. You know, unless they need like a good ride home. You know, like they might need a ride home. But don't pick up murdering ghosts. How about that?
Yeah, or anyone dressed in clothing that's not appropriate for the era.
Yeah, well, okay.
Or make them explain before they get on the bus.
Why are you dressed like this? Oh, good grief. All right. Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about some sleep paralysis folklore.
Okay.
All righty. So the reason I chose this topic was my girlfriend actually gave me the idea for this, and that's because she had some issues with sleep paralysis last night.
So
I decided to take her up on it, and I decided to cover some sleep paralysis folklore.
That always creeps me out, honestly.
It's the worst. Have you ever had sleep paralysis?
No, but that terrifies me, the thought of not being able to move. I'm a very controlling person. I'm a control freak, as you know.
Yeah.
And the thought of not having control over my own body is terrifying.
It's a bit spooky. Absolutely. So sleep paralysis is often associated with like demons and possession and evil creatures. Are you frowning at your background?
Yeah, it's like glitching.
Yeah, it did that a couple of times. I was just going to let it fly. You know, I figured it was the ghost that you were talking about. So.
It could be. They're not happy with me talking about them.
You know, I just figured I'd not call them out on it. But since you're the one that called them out, it's fine.
Great. You're coming to my house.
Yeah. So sleep paralysis is often associated with demons, possession, evil creatures, et cetera, et cetera. For those of you who don't know what it is, which, you know, I imagine most of you guys would, but it's a state during waking up or falling asleep in which a person is aware, but unable to move or speak. And during an episode, one usually hallucinates. And it generally lasts less than a couple of minutes, but for some people it does last a lot longer.
Can you imagine?
No.
That terrifies me.
Yeah. So these days we know more about this phenomenon and there are treatments and tricks as to preventing it from happening in those that suffer from it. But for the purpose of this podcast and this episode right now, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the folklore behind it and the different cultures and the stories they had about it when they didn't know exactly what was happening. So the night hag is a generic name for a folkloric creature found in cultures all around the world. And it gets used to explain sleep paralysis a lot, mm-hmm. which I've heard of the night hag a lot, like even not when discussing like sleep paralysis, like the night hag is often, you know, just like the old dark old lady in the room or whatever.
Yeah.
So a common description is that a person falls asleep and they feel this presence of like a supernatural malevolent being, and it immobilizes this person as if they're standing on their chest. So that is one that's like that type of description is common among most sleep paralysis victims.
I've seen creepy pictures, like drawings and things, you know, where this hag is sitting on their chest with the long nails looking down. I mean, that just is freaky.
No, I'm okay without that. I don't need it.
Me neither.
Sometimes people also see these figures or the night hag standing just at the foot of the bed, which mm-hmm. like, no thanks. Like I could do without that too. There was mm-hmm. one time I was sleeping and I woke up for whatever reason and I looked up and I'm blind. I wear contacts. I'm blind as a bat.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up and there was this silhouette exactly in my doorway.
Oh God.
And I freaked out and I sat jolt upright and it was my cat sitting on the foot of my bed. So, you know, I can just do without things like standing at the foot of my bed, and my cat loves to do it. So,
mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to go through like a few different cultures and like how they kind of explain sleep paralysis and the terms that they have for it and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So in Egypt, sleep paralysis is conceptualized as a djinn attack. So the djinn may even kill its victims during this sleep paralysis attack, like that kind of stuff.
Wow, because I always thought of the djinn as being more tricksters, not actual malevolent.
I think I've seen stories where they're both like tricksters and also malevolent. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure we did a Myths and Monsters episode on the djinn. Did we not?
I think so. I think you did one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did. Sleep paralysis among Cambodians is also known as the ghost that pushes you down and entails the belief in dangerous visitations from deceased relatives.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So it's like ghosts that come to visit you and they like sit on you and push you down. And so that's that heavy feeling on your chest and you can't move and stop it.
Are they unhappy that you're still alive and they're dead?
I have no idea. Honestly, they did just come to visit and they're just like, that's how they manifest. I have no idea.
I'm just going to sit on you and we'll have a chat.
You know what? They make sure that you know they're there at the very least.
That's true.
In the different regions of Italy, there are a few different examples of supernatural beings associated with sleep paralysis.
Okay.
So in the regions, and I'm going to butcher these names also.
Okay.
But in the regions of Marche and Abruzzo, it is referred to as a pandafeche attack. So
I love the Spanish accent that you put on it. You took Spanish, right?
I did. I can't help it. I do. Yeah. I do put on the Spanish accent, which this is Italian. So sorry for everybody.
It's close.
My bad. but this usually refers to an evil witch, sometimes a ghost-like spirit or a terrifying cat-like creature that mounts on top of the chest of the victim and tries to harm them. So the only, yeah. And this next part I also found really interesting. The only way to avoid her is to keep a bag of sand or beans close to the bed so that the witch will stop to count how many beans.
How many sand times grains are inside. See,
yes,
there's gotta be something to that.
Didn't you? You talked about a creature. I think it was like a werewolf variant or something where they were stopped.
There were two different episodes that I talked about creatures that get caught up in counting the broom, you know, things or the grains of rice or the colander holes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. I was pretty sure that you had mentioned
the Rougarou.
Yes. Yeah. The Rougarou. Yeah. And they couldn't enter it because they had to stop and count the thing on the windowsill or something. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. I'm glad I remembered that correctly.
Yeah. See, so that to me, that means something that all these different cultures, independently of each other, come up with these. There's something to that story.
Yes. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Super. I knew you would love that.
Yeah.
A similar tradition is present in the Sardinian folklore where the Ammuntador is known as a creature that mounts on people's chests during their sleep to give them nightmares. And it can change its shape according to the person's fear. So it gets like personal. It's like, oh, you're afraid of this? I'll do that. What is the creature? Is it the Bogart in Harry Potter?
That can change its shape. Yeah.
Yeah. Based on
your fear. You do ridiculous and you turn it into whatever it is that.
Yeah. So that reminded me of that. But also like, no, thanks. I don't need something to sit on my chest and be like my fear. Like, sure, you're a demon on my chest. Like, but then like take it a step further. And it's like my actual fear.
Your biggest fear, like a giant spider for me. Oh my God. I would just have a heart attack right then.
Well, my biggest fear is heights, so I'm not quite sure how that would come through, but I don't want to find out.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, because I'm also terrified of spiders. Like, that'd be a pretty good one. Like, pretty sure I would just sweat to death because I would just immediately sweat all of my body fluids out and just die.
Yeah.
But heights have been the only thing that actually make me freeze in fear. So I think I'm more afraid of heights than I am of spiders.
Yeah, I've got the small space thing. I don't know how that would work either. Mm-mm. Although if you're hallucinating, I guess they could hallucinate you on a high building or in an elevator or whatever.
I'm okay without that.
I've heard a lot about cats, you know, stealing your breath, sitting on your chest, stealing your breath.
Yeah.
So, and like you said, these are all different cultures that have come up with.
It's crazy.
The same kind of, I mean, I understand scientifically, if your breathing is constricted and your chest,
I understand.
Like,
yeah.
But to have that many different cultures come up with supernatural reasons that are so similar is eerie.
I don't think that that's so eerie. I think what's eerie is coming up with the same way to like get rid of them. So like the counting thing, like, yeah, oh, this thing has said, that is what gets me. Cause like, yeah, if something's sitting on your chest and you hallucinate, which like I have a couple of stories at the end of this, and you hallucinate something and you're like, oh yeah, okay, like I saw this creature that was sitting on top of my chest. Well, that's obviously going to be, you know, widespread. I think that is something that, you know, the human brain just comes up with. I don't, yeah, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But so that's not as weird to me as like the, oh, like leave a bag of beans next to it so that they'll get stuck counting those and, you know, they won't agree. And I'm like, why?
Of course.
Why is that?
Obvious.
Yeah. Why is that the thing? Like, okay.
Very strange.
In Northern Italy, specifically in the Tyrol area, the Trud is a witch that sits on people's chests at night, making them unable to breathe. And to chase her away, people should make the sign of the cross, which is like really hard to do if you're paralyzed.
Yeah.
But apparently that's the way to get out of that.
Okay.
In Southern Italy, sleep paralysis was usually explained with the presence of a sprite landing on people's chests. So like if the person managed to catch the sprite or steal his hat, which I'm assuming is a very specific legend. And I did not look that up for the sake of time on this, but, or steal his hat, in exchange for his freedom or to give his hat back, he can reveal the hiding place of a rich treasure.
Oh my.
Yeah. So that's another like interesting, you know, legend about, wow, sleep paralysis.
I like that one.
I do too. In Newfoundland, sleep paralysis is referred to as the old hag instead of the night hag, and victims of a hagging are said to be hag ridden upon waking.
Mm-hmm.
Victims report being completely conscious but are unable to speak or move, and report a person or animal which sits on their chest. So there's a theme here. Sleep paralysis is sometimes interpreted as space alien abductions in the United States, which I found very interesting. I could see it being a thing. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Especially like with all of the, you know, urban legends that we have here about alien abductions. And
is it only in the US? Really?
I don't know that it's only in the US, but it's very specifically in the US for sure.
That's so interesting. I just assumed that all over the world they had the alien abduction.
Yeah, ideas. You know, I haven't really looked into alien abductions. That has never been one of my areas of interest. But now that you
mentioned
it. I
love aliens.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. And you know, they probably are like all over the world. I have no idea, but I've never looked into it. I don't have an answer for that.
I'll have to do an episode on aliens.
Oh my God, you will. Please do. In Scandinavian folklore, sleep paralysis is called by something named a mare. So a supernatural creature related to incubi and succubi, which I saw this across multiple websites.
I've heard of that.
Yes.
And that's where the nightmare comes from too.
Yes. Yeah. So the mare is a damned woman who is cursed, and her body is carried mysteriously during sleep and without her noticing. In this state, she visits villagers to sit on their rib cages while they are asleep, causing them to experience nightmares.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then Catalonia is a region in Spain, and they have a tale of the Pasanta, a black animal, often a dog or a cat, that invades people's homes and sits on their chest while they're asleep, making it difficult to breathe and causing nightmares. So there are tons more myths and legends. I could have gone on and on and on. Pretty much every culture has something to explain this sleep paralysis phenomenon. And I think that's pretty fair. You know, we've already talked about it a little bit, but I've had a couple of experiences that I don't know that I would call sleep paralysis. But I definitely, you know, would believe that demons were in my house if I weren't a scientist of modern times.
Just so. Because you're a scientist doesn't mean you can't believe in those other things too. These mysterious things are just things we haven't figured out what the scientific reason for is yet.
Yeah. But sleep paralysis has like an explanation.
Okay. And you write urban fantasy. How does this happen, oh scientist?
Because urban fantasy is just fantasy and it's cool.
It is very cool.
But I
could be real.
Well, I hope not. Because so one of my one of my sleep paralysis things was like I was asleep. I was still an undergrad of college and was asleep and like woke up. And I saw this little boy standing in the corner of my room, And he had like these dark sunken eyes.
Oh
like,
my God.
Blackish eyes. And he was just staring at me and he was in the corner of my room. And so I stared back at him. I didn't try to move. I have no idea if I was paralyzed or not. No clue. Did not try to move. I just stared at him. Cause I was like, surely he's not real, was my mind state. Mm-hmm. And so we stared at each other for, I don't know how long. We just, I watched him. He was watching me. And I just looked at him. And eventually I was like, you know what? I'm going to close my eyes. Cause I'm probably asleep. Close my eyes, woke up, and the room was empty.
Interesting.
So I imagine I was dreaming and it was a nightmare, but it was very vividly real because the room was exactly as it was. The light through the window, like the moonlight through the window, was exactly as it usually is, like, et cetera, et cetera. It just, there was a little boy standing in my corner and he had dark sunken eyes. So
that's creepy.
Yeah. And then the other time that it happened was more ish recent. It was few years ago. I was working at my last job. So I was catching raccoons down in Wormslow, Georgia. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I was in this cabin and I went to bed and I was like falling asleep and I felt this hand go across my face.
Oh my God.
So, like all the fingers and everything. And I jolted awake and I was like, okay, well, I guess it was probably like a roach on my face or something. So all these years, I was like, it was probably just a bug that crawled on my face, which like, bleh, but like, whatever.
Yeah, it is what it is. Yeah.
And then I was talking to somebody and I can't remember who now. And they're like, no, that's like a type of sleep paralysis. Like feeling a hand on your face is like a type of sleep paralysis. And I was like, cool. Like, love that.
I would rather it be a roach. Thank you.
You know, I can a bug on my face, like whatever. I run around in swamps for a living, but like, yeah. No, I don't need a hand on my face. Like that's fine. I can do without it.
Oh, that is creepy.
Yeah. So those are my two experiences with it. And it's only happened twice I feel like things touching me a lot, but like, I just chalk that up to I'm half asleep. And I suppose that's what sleep paralysis is. But like, I'm just feeling whatever.
Well, what did Sid have last night? What was her nightmare?
She has crazy ones. She has very insane ones and she's had them often enough now to where she knows when she's going into sleep paralysis. And so she can like get herself out of it before it happens. But apparently she had a dream where I walked into the bathroom and screamed. And so she's like, what's happening? And then I crawled into the bedroom next to the bed. And she jolted awake and like checked over to make sure that there wasn't something crawling across our floor on the floor or whatever. So she was having some bad nightmares last night.
That's terrible. Now I've had dreams like that. I can't tell the difference between reality and the dream.
Yeah.
Like when Daddy and I were first married, I dreamed, and poor guy, I dreamed that there were black spiders on the bed. Oh. And I mean, it terrified me and I knew it was real. Yeah. I turned on the light and I said, he unmade the entire bed. He changed the sheets on the bed because I was terrified that there was spiders. And he tries to calm me down. He's like, it's pitch black in here. How would you see a black spider?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, I don't know. But I mean, it was so real.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I wasn't paralyzed. I've never had any kind of sleep paralysis.
No, I've never had the not able to move thing. Sid has, and she didn't have it last night because she was able to get herself out of it before it happened. She just didn't get much sleep. Mm-hmm. But, I've never had the, I can't move. It was just, maybe with the little boy I did, but I just decided to sit there and stare at him instead of trying to move.
Yeah.
I was like, if he thinks that I'm not going to move, then it's fine. Like he's not going to come and get me was my thought process at the time.
So strange. Mm-hmm. Where was this?
It was in one of my apartments in undergrad.
So it was in an apartment that we don't own anymore.
No.
We don't have ghosts in any of our apartments. Okay.
No, this was my first apartment at UGA. So,
okay.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
That is creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't enjoy them. They're not fun. So,
well, is that the last you had on that?
Yes. Yes, it was.
I am very excited because we're getting into fall and Halloween season. So
Yep. Which I think last year for Halloween, I did a story on the jack-o'-lantern.
That's still one of my favorite episodes ever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who I was talking. I was talking to somebody recently about it. Might've been your sister, Jordan.
Yeah.
Where I was talking about the history of the jack-o'-lantern and
how cool
that was. Cause that's so cool.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. I'm thinking I want to do some paragraph writing, some horror paragraph writing.
Yeah.
And we'll have to read some of those. And I do, since we haven't been getting many of your sentence challenges, I think we should read the ones that we've gotten on a mini episode at some point in the near future.
Oh, absolutely.
During this fall season, this holiday October season. It's my favorite time of year.
Sure. Yeah.
But anyway, that was episode 18. So come join us again on October 1st and we'll have another story for you.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Mm-hmm.